The journey that we're going to see Ezra go through is a journey filled with the unknown, just like life. It's unknown. How many of you would like to see the beginning of your life and the end of your life and everything in between all at once? We all want to see how this thing plays out, but that's not how it is. Life is full of unknowns.
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things.
We are moving right along in the Building Foundation series as we go verse by verse through the book of Ezra. Now last time we saw how God provided everything that was needed to travel back to Jerusalem through a letter from the king Artaxerxes. So today as we come to Ezra chapter 8, we see that the journey home begins. We are covering verses 1 and 15 through 32 with the message titled, The Journey Home. You've noticed we're skipping verses 2 through 14, so Pastor Ben gives the homework for you to read those on your own. Those verses list the families who returned with Ezra, reminding us again that every person matters in what God is building. So the journey begins. As the people gather, Ezra realizes something is missing. There are no Levites to lead in worship. So he calls for them, fasts, and seeks God for direction and protection. Instead of relying on military help, Ezra chooses to trust God completely. And God is faithful. Through a long and dangerous journey, he brings them safely to Jerusalem, carrying everything needed for the work ahead. The journey God calls us isn't always easy, but it is always guided. When we trust him fully, he provides what we need and brings us where we're meant to be. So we ask the question, where is God asking you to trust him more deeply? Not just at the destination, but in the journey you're walking through now. If you can, grab your Bibles and turn with me to Ezra chapter 8. For the message titled, The Journey Home. Here's Pastor Ben.
Teach the Word of God. You go, no, time out. I'm not a teacher. I'm not going to get behind the pulpit and teach. That's not what he's telling me. He's not saying be a pastor. He's saying teach. Teach the truth to your children. Teach the truth to your friends. Share with them what God is doing in your life. Share with them how this is. Oh, well, yeah. You want to ask the questions. How? How does that look like? Show me. Where did you get that from? And they have to dig deep, and there you can see the wheels turning, and they're like, oh, yeah, and it's so cool, and it's so neat. But I don't know if you know this. Every one of us in our lives, as we interact, are teachers. And what are you teaching? Are we teaching the ways of the world, or are we teaching the scriptures? He says, if you want to build the foundation of your heart and you want to grow strong, he says, learn them, obey them, and teach them. Teach them. We also learned that we need to be careful that we don't put God in a box. You go, what does that mean? God uses whatever he means, whatever means he chooses to accomplish his will. We often put God in a box on how he should work in our lives and the lives of others. We often feel like he needs to do that. We all do it from time to time, and this happens to the best of us. And what I've learned is you cannot put God in a box. When he so chooses, he can use pagan kings to accomplish his will and his plan for Israel. And we know that God can do anything he wants to do and how he wants to do it. So we learned that. We have to be careful. Now, as we come to chapter 8, we learn that Ezra's on his way home. But what we need to understand is it's a journey to get where he's going. And how we apply it, it's symbolic of the journey we called life, okay? The text is going to tell us that Ezra is going to go from Babylon to Jerusalem, which is 900 miles. But for you and I, we can see it symbolically, and we can look at it in our lives spiritually. And I want you to jot this down if you're taking note. The journey that we're going to see Ezra go through is a journey filled with the unknown, just like life. It's unknown. How many of you ever would like to see the beginning of your life and the end of your life and everything in between all at once? We all want to see how this thing plays out, but that's not how it is. Life is full of unknowns, The second thing we see for Ezra and for us is a journey filled with prayer. We also see that it's a journey filled with humility. Prayer and humility go hand in hand. And then we see that it's a journey of answered prayer for Ezra And last but not least, it's a journey walking with God going home. That's what the text is going to show us. So if you're there in your Bibles, let's pick it up in verse 1. We're going to look at verse 1, and then we're going to jump on over to verse 15. Verse 1 says, "These are the heads of their fathers' houses, and this is the genealogy of those who went up with me from Babylon in the reign of King Artaxerxes." So chapter 8 starts off with the genealogy. This is the genealogy of all of them who went with me from Babylon. The number given here amounts to about 1754, but this is the registered of adult males only. And there were women and children. We're going to see that in verse 21, so you can highlight. Think about this. The whole caravan may be considered as comprising between 6,000 and 7,000 people. Can you imagine going back? Going back. Now, for homework, okay, and I'm going to call you out next week. You need to read verses 2 through 14. Just read it. You go, "What? I won't understand it. I don't know, because we're talking about all these names." Yeah. That's good. You'll get to see the son of Phinehas, Gershom, all of those guys. So let's jump to verse 15. This is where the journey begins. Notice verse 15. "Now, I gathered them by the river that flows to Ahava, and we camped there 3 days. And I took among the people the priests and found none of the sons of Levi there." Now let's stop right there, because he's going to talk about this, okay? So Ezra's writing, and he says, "Hey, I gathered everybody. We came to the river, and we stayed there for 3 days. And I looked among the people and the priests and found none of the sons of Levi there." Now, the river here that Ezra talks about, it's a small stream that flows into the Euphrates. It's about an 8-day journey from Babylon to where they're at right now. It appears that they stopped to what? So the people could rest. Think about all the people. Think about the caravan. You realize that this trip is going to take months. Now, that's hard for us to understand when we can jump in our car and we can be somewhere in an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours or even 24 hours if we have to drive somewhere that's 900 miles. But to them, it was a little bit rest, a little bit rest, a little bit rest. And I find it interesting, because isn't that how life is? I remember, and maybe you do too, I remember when I was just a teenager and I couldn't wait to drive. That, you know, we wanted to grow up so fast. "Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait to trade in my bike for a car, and I can't wait to do this and do that." And now that you're grown up, you're going, "Why did I want to grow up so fast?" You guys know what I'm talking about. My grandchildren hate naps. I like them. I need a nap. Why did I fight it back then? We don't know, right? And again, I think that's how life is. We want to grow up so fast, but I think we miss the journey. We miss the rest. We're gathered together. And he says, okay, so this whole trip is going to take months. It's going to take us some time to get there. And he says, "Oh, by the way," he says, I looked and I didn't see the sons of Levi there." Now, remember, it wasn't like, there were so many people. And so we have to break it down, okay? 74 Levites had gone up with Zerubbabel, and this trip, Ezra didn't find any, but we already know that they were up there. This doesn't mean that there weren't any Levites at all, but it's basically stating that he saw none. The Levites, church, were different from the priest, being in a larger tribe from which the family of priests came from the descendants of Aaron. Remember that. These were, and here's where it's going to get good, these were essential workers for the system of the temple worship that Ezra was to promote. So you had, if you will, the pastors, and the Levites were the servants. They were the servants. They were the ones who got the church ready. They were the ones who came. And so in essence, when you are a ministry leader, or you're here and you're just serving, you're part of the Levite group. You're part of the Levites. Like, "Oh, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool." Let me give you some application. Oftentimes, as we begin our journey, the goal one day is home. But as we live each day, there's one thing we need to do. You go, what's that? It's to submit to our high priest, Jesus, to be saturated in him. Now, you might look at me and go, Ben, that's Captain Obvious, dude. But take a moment to think about your day. Does it start with Jesus and end with Jesus? Do you walk with him through your day? Are you talking and fellowshipping with him? That's what we need to do. We need to do that each and every day of our life. It's that submission to him every single day. And I got to be honest with you. There are times I jump out of bed and I forget to say, you know, good morning, Lord. And okay, you're going to walk with me today. And how many times do we have our schedule and we've got to do this, we've got to do this. And we've got a lot to do today. And we don't take a moment to go, hey, maybe I need to ask the Lord what he wants. Maybe I need to take a second and go, Lord, what do you want to do? You, for example, if God were to call me to go visit somebody at the hospital, hey, Pastor Ben, can you come and pray for me? And instead of just going in, walking in, praying for somebody and leaving, maybe I say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Maybe there's somebody here that I really need to minister to. Let my schedule be your schedule. And let me be that servant. Maybe we need to allow the Holy Spirit to love through us, through other people. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to love through us. You know, you and I, we have a hard time loving because we've been hurt. And so we have to have that attitude. We have to have that song, love through me, Holy Spirit, love through me. Let me be the hands and feet of Jesus to somebody who needs to hear that. I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of moving through my day pretty quick, focused on what I need to do. And I might miss some divine opportunities that God wants to use me. I've got to go. And even if it's not a prescribed something you have to do, remember, if God calls you to the dollar store, oh, I got to go run and get the dollar store. Maybe he's directing you to be a blessing to somebody there. Listen. God saved you to use you. He saved you so you can be a blessing to others. He saved you so you can walk in the gospel. That's what he saved you for. How cool is that? Why? Well, think about this. If that was not the case, if it was different, then maybe you got saved and then God would just take us home. Can you imagine praying the prayer? All right. And so we're all right here and say, hey, how many of you want to walk forward and get saved? And everybody comes there and it's like, okay, repeat this prayer. And then they pray and then they all fall dead because God doesn't need us. But he does. He just, guess what? You still get to go out there and you get to be an example. So we need to have that. We need to submit. We need to submit to our high priest. Listen, Ezra realizes that this journey is filled with the unknown, and he quickly wants those to serve God with him, right? How do you know? Look at verse 16, church. Then I sent for Eleazar, Ariel, Shemaiah, Elnathan, Jarib, Elnathan, Nathan, Zechariah, Meshulam. Who are they? Leaders. Also for Jorarib and Elnathan. I guess everybody liked to name their kid Elnathan because there's three of them right here, okay? But these guys were men of understanding, okay? You go, Ben, what's he doing? Ezra's realizing, now grasp this, Ezra's realizing that the journey back home is there's a lot of unknowns. And he wants to do this journey with people who are like-minded. He wants to do this journey. He talks about the first nine men of chief note, rank, and dignity and their family. And the other two were noted for men of good sense. I don't know about you, but I want to do this journey with like-minded, loving those people who love Jesus. I want to do that journey. I want to do life with men of understanding. Men of understanding. You see, in our life, we should always imply what I like to call, and of course, it's my opinion, so I'm going to step over here on the side of the pulpit, but I think we need to have the 33 rule. You go, the 33? Yeah, it's the 33% rule. 33% of people I want to pour into. I want to be their mentor. I want to bring them up. 33% I'm pouring into. 33% are my contemporaries, people that I do life with. people that I can sit down and have a cup of coffee and just glean from each other. Wow, that is so cool. I like that. Well, what is God speaking to you? Oh, God's speaking 33%. 33 I'm pouring into, 33 I'm having this great conversation, and 33 is my mentors. People that I look up to, people that I want to glean from, people that I know have gone on the journey before. Those are the people that I want to call up and go, hey, I'm going through this. I don't know. I don't understand what to do. Help me. And sometimes they're dead guys. You go, what do you mean? Well, you're reading their books and they've experienced this and they write it down. And so maybe your mentor is a great scholar from the 1600s. Or maybe it's somebody that you can look up to and say, yeah. God never called us to do life alone. He called us to be together and to lock arms. And this is exactly what he's saying. Guys, think about this. There should always be men of God who God calls to full-time ministry, men of understanding, men of understanding. I want you to know, these leaders are men who came alongside the men to help him in his calling. Who were they? Ezra had that mission. Pastor Ezra was going back. Pastor Ezra was going to encourage. They've already been encouraged a little bit by the prophets, Haggai and Zechariah. Remember that? But they needed a pastor. They needed a pastor. And these guys, here's the biggest thing. They came and they said, we're going to lift up his arms. You realize that these guys weren't going, well, I don't understand why Pastor Ezra gets the job. I don't understand. I'm a better preacher than Pastor Ezra. That's not what they said. They had men of understanding that came and said, okay, we're with you. We're with you. One of the things that bugs me in a silly kind of way is when somebody says, oh, well, this is your church. And I often go, no, this is our church. This is our church. We're all in this together. We're all in this walking and wanting to grow and see each other. And our job should be to push each other up, to encourage, to love people back to life. This is where we should be. This is what Ezra needed. Why? Because the journey was unknown to him, and it's the same for us. This journey we called life is unknown, and I choose to do life with people who are like-minded. People who want to see the gospel, who want to see people saved. People who can encourage me. How are you doing? You doing all right? How's your walk with God? What's God showing you today? What's God teaching you? You feeling okay? Physically, you just loving people. This is what Ezra's going through. Well, notice verse 17, Pastor Ezra says, and I gave them a command for Edo, the chief man at the palace, Casiphia, and I told them what they should say to Edo and his brethren, the Nethium, at the palace, Casiphia, and they should bring us servants for the house of God. Verse 18, then, by the good hand of our God upon us, they brought us a man of understanding, the sons of Mahili, the son of Levi, the son of Israel, namely Sherebiah, with the sons of his brothers, 18 men. And Hashabiah with his son Josiah, and the sons of Merai, and the brothers and their sons, 20 men. Also of the Nethium, remember those are servants, whom David and the leaders had appointed for the service of the Levites, 220 Nethium, all of them were designated by name. Here's what he says. All of that, he says, I told them what they said they needed to say to Edo. Notice right here, they carefully instructed those they recruited on what to say. You go, well, Ben, what did they say? Here he says, make an appeal to Edo and his brethren to do what? To bring us servants for the house of God. Bring us servants. People who are like-minded, people who can see this. Guys, listen, that's what you and I are called to do. We're called to be servants. You realize the word minister means servant. And you go, well, I'm the senior pastor. Okay, all that means is you're the chief servant. That's all it means. And so all of us are called to be servants. But let me say this very lovingly as best I can. We all want to be servants. Can I get an amen? Amen. Come on, we can do better than that. We all want to be servants. Amen. Until someone treats us like one. Until someone really treats us like a servant, like a doulos, like a bond slave. It's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait a minute. Oh, what a lesson I had to learn early on. I'll never forget. Pastor Robert, Calvary Chapel, Rio Rancho. Okay, Ben, you ready to come on staff? I'm ready. I'm ready to work full-time at the church, Pastor. This is going to be amazing. This is going to be great. I've worked circular jobs all my life. Now I get to be at the church. This is going to be great, right? I was already an ordained pastor. Already ordained. Pastor Ben working at the church, right? And I work at the church. I get to, and I'm thinking, wow, this is going to be great. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to sit in my office. I'm going to study all day, and I'll counsel people, and they'll come to me, and I'll have wisdom, and I'll say, well, let's see. Sit down. Let's see what the Bible says. And it's going to be great. And I'll get out, and I'll have a cup of coffee, and I'll sit there in the cafe. And you know what they did? Pastor Robert comes and says, okay, you ready? I'm ready. He says, you're in charge of cleaning the church. I ain't no janitor. No. You're a servant. But let me help you out. You're in charge of cleaning. All you need to do is get other people to clean. Well, it's hard to get people to clean the church at 6 o'clock in the morning. So there I am. And I remember I was cleaning the church. Cleaning the church. Pastor Ben, somebody wants to talk to you. Well, I really can't talk to them right now. I got to finish the classroom. Sunday's coming. Zzz, vacuuming. And it wasn't until the Lord got a hold of my heart and said, why are you upset? And I had to repent, church. I called my pastor into the little classroom that I was vacuuming and cleaning. And I said, Pastor Robert, I am so sorry. Will you please forgive me? And he just smiled because he knew. He knew that God does that, doesn't he? He takes us and he breaks us and he says, listen, you want to be a servant. You need to be a servant. Well, this is what he's saying. He said, bring us some servants, man. But bring us some servants that don't want to think they're something. You know what training? You know how good that training was when I got here and it was just me and I had to clean the church? Well, then I called Nathalie and said, you need to clean the church. And then there was, just kidding. We cleaned the church. It was, you cleaned the church. And he was like, you happy to do it? You're just like, man, this is cool. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the lesson. You go, what's the lesson for you and I? You ready? Jot this down. Guys, we're called to love and serve people. We're called to love and serve people. How do we serve them? How do we serve them? You guys don't realize, you come in here, you sit on the chair, you have a clean church every Wednesday and every Sunday. How does that happen? Because you have servants that go, yeah, we'll do it. Do you want any praise, any worship? You want any pats on the back? No, we're just serving Jesus. That's exactly what he's saying. Here's what I like, guys, in this whole text, okay? If we take a look at verse 18, and he says, it read then by the good hand of our God. You guys see that? Underline that in your Bibles. By the good hand of our God. You go, what was he saying? Here's what I love. God was directing by the good hand of God, but Ezra was still planning. You go, what does that mean? Here's what St. Augustine once said, quote, work like it depends on you and pray like it depends on God, end quote. You go, what does that mean? Well, it emphasizes the importance of both personal responsibility and the reliance on God. In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought his people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what he began. The same God who restores his people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com, simply hit the donate button. If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue,
Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.